Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, October 30th, and the Locked On Pistons return of Dan Feldman today on the show. But this is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen, and what's up to the new listeners out there? Just a quick couple seconds about me in case you're one of the new listeners and want to stick around, hopefully, throughout the season. I'm a Royal Oak guy, went to Central Michigan University, and always knew that I wanted to be a sports writer like Mitch Albom of the Free Press and a sports announcer like Ernie Harwell of the Detroit Tigers. Lived in Port Huron, Springfield, Missouri, the Virgin Islands, and Chicago, and I moved back to Detroit a couple months ago here in the summer, and excited to bring you my year two of the Locked On Pistons podcast here in the Motor City. But today we're going to be breaking down tonight's matchup with the Boston Celtics, where the revenge tour is in order, starting tonight as the Pistons will take on Brooklyn and Philadelphia. Maybe those other teams are seeking revenge this week, but it's from revenge overall with the second matchups, but those teams coming up this week on the road for the Pistons. Also going to share our interview with Dan Feldman. You know Dan, the former host of this very podcast, also a longtime writer for NBCSports.com. I met him last week, and he was kind enough to come on the show, and he battled all of the, I'm sure it was very emotional, battled all the mixed emotions to come back here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. I can imagine all the great longing and thought of hosting this podcast in the past and making the return. I'm sure it was a roller coaster of emotions for him. I'm kidding, but we are thankful to Dan for joining us, and hopefully we can do it again soon. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore. After that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed, and also check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But by the way, is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right now here on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite podcast. Our demo is 98% men with more education and earning power than your traditional media audiences. So get in touch with me if you know anyone or are someone who wants to reach that audience of loyal, dedicated Detroit sports fans. Have your company sponsor this podcast. So email me at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, @yahoo.com to find out more. We got great rates to set up the season, and you can roll with us this year with all sorts of great Detroit Pistons fans and listeners out there as well. Speaking of those Pistons, they get the chance for revenge tonight against the Boston Celtics in Beantown. The game is the first of a 5-of-6 stretch on the road, also the first of a back-to-back, as the Pistons will be playing on Halloween night on Wednesday night at Brooklyn. So the first back-to-back for the Pistons coming up, then on at Philly on Saturday, and then home for Miami on Monday before finishing this 5-and-6 stretch on the road with two games, roadies at Orlando and Atlanta. If you're a Pistons fan, you're looking at this six-game stretch. I don't know. I think 3-and-3 really not so bad. That's taking care of the bad teams, maybe even losing to Miami. But you're hopeful for 4-and-2, and maybe even if you're really optimistic, you're looking for something 5-and-1, or maybe the crazy folks out there, the Pistons slappies, might be thinking 6-and-0. But Pistons are 8.5-point dogs on the road tonight in Boston, as you might expect. I've also seen 9 out there in some of the books. They got slapped around by 20 points, closer to 30 for most of the fourth quarter, most of the second half, really, for the Pistons on Saturday night at home against the Celtics. Bad news when you're looking at the Celtics coming up is that it sounds like Aaron Baines will be back in action tonight. Good news for Aaron and good news for Aaron Baines fans, but bad news for the Pistons' chances of winning this game. However, probably more importantly, the good news is that Daniel Theis will not play. The Pistons killer has plantar fasciitis, which I've had before, and it sucks. But anyways, he's out indefinitely after I think he had 19-7 on Saturday night. Although Brad Stevens said it shouldn't be that bad. When you hear indefinitely, it raises the alarms. But it shouldn't be that bad. It's a really hard injury to put a timetable on. And I think that healing varies wildly with the foot and plantar fasciitis. I know that Sheed had it for a long time when he was with the Pistons and pretty much always played on it, actually. You can play on it, but Boston probably wisely is going to give him some time and see how it heals. So you might look for some more Robert Williams inside, and then Baines will obviously take up some of those minutes that Theis had, assuming that Baines does come back tonight after missing the last three. Robert Williams, the rookie from Texas A&M, had the big dunk off the alley-oop on Saturday in Detroit. A rookie that fell far in the draft And it could be a late first-round steal for Boston, who definitely did not need one of those. It was one of those guys late in the first round, as the Pistons were about 10 picks away, that I thought might be a nice steal for the Pistons there, as you know, the 40-39 range approach that they were picking in. But like I said, at Brooklyn on Wednesday, at Philly on Saturday night. So just playing the same teams over and over again for the Pistons. The revenge tour, as the Pistons will be seeking revenge against Boston, and then the Nets and 76ers will be seeking revenge against the Detroit Pistons after that. But up next, we're going to talk to Dan Feldman of NBCSports.com. But you know what? Ever since I started doing this podcast last year, people have been asking me for advice, and mostly it's of the betting variety. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week and also every night with the NBA. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win these games, and you know that from listening to the podcast. But if you think you know, then you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with, and that's why I always tell folks to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews on online from real, live people, not fake news, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. You got a feeling on the Pistons game against the Celtics. You think they're going to rebound and make it happen? Well, have it help out your bank account, too. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, and that's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They've got in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and free fantasy guys out there. You can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. I did that yearly boner every year where I was busy during the week and didn't update my fantasy football lineups for this weekend and ended up taking a zero on two different guys in two different leagues. Still won both of those games this past weekend. So maybe that's the lesson learned, is that if the less time I put into my fantasy teams, the better off they actually end up doing. So that's more proof that probably I'm the worst fantasy game in-season manager out there in the world. But anyway, go back to MyBookie. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. MyBookie, check it out. You play, you win, you get paid. And MyBookie, by the way, will match your first deposit 100% up to $1,000. Free money. Who can say no to that?
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by Dan Feldman of NBCSports.com, the former host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. And Dan, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Thanks for having me on. Excited to do it.
Yeah, for sure. So, Dan, for all the listeners who used to listen to you on this program and have been keeping up with some of your writing but don't hear your voice as often anymore, why don't you fill us in on what you've been up to for the last period of time?
Well, I've been concentrating more just on writing for NBC Sports, which I was still doing when I was at Locked On, and just covering the league as a whole, not necessarily with a Pistons focus, but I do live in Detroit. I'm at most Pistons games, so I can't help but see them more than I see any other team.
Yeah, so, you know, sometimes good and sometimes bad, I guess, with that. And you and I met at the game last week and been to each other a couple times. I was working there for AP and you, of course, working on some stuff. A lot with the visiting team, which is nice to kind of have the home base. And as the visiting teams cycle in, and of course, a little bit with the Pistons as well, kind of nice to see teams every now and then and get that vantage point of them coming through and catching up with them in those types of situations.
It is, you know, one thing that's made my job a little bit harder is oftentimes in previous years, if I'm writing something on the visiting team, they're in a good mood because they just beat the Pistons. But a few more losses for the visiting teams this year, makes it a little bit harder for me.
Yeah, that's right. Now, Dan, let's talk about some of those visiting teams from last week, because with the Pistons, they're with Boston as a team they're going to see again on Tuesday night. But first with Tyronn Lue in Cleveland, you and I saw up close his second to last game as the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're firing him on Sunday afternoon. And I know you've been writing about that all day for NBA Sports or NBCSports.com. Tell me some of your thoughts on the Tyronn Lue firing, and now a little bit of controversy even with Larry Drew taking over as interim or acting coach. And so tell me what some of your thoughts on that situation right now.
Well, I think we got to start with this. I'm not sure whether it was the right move or not. Like, it might be, it might not be. It's right in that questionable range for me. But there are so many unusual, unconventional elements of it that are really kind of fun if you're not the guy losing your job, just to dissect all of it. I mean, in one sense, Lou had a great record, one of the best records ever for a coach who got fired. I wrote about that at NBC Sports this afternoon, going through coaches who've won more than 60% of their games in the regular season and the postseason. He did it both. 3 years he took them to the finals, including winning the championship in 2016. Usually that gets a coach more leeway. They're only 0-6. Like, it looks bad. Everything around the team seems bad. That's why I say it wasn't necessarily the wrong move, but usually that's too soon to fire a coach with everything that he has accomplished. And then you mentioned Larry Drew. Larry Drew was named interim coach in the press release announcing Tyronn Lue's firing. And then Larry Drew says, no, I'm not interim coach. Like, don't put that title on me. I don't want that. I haven't accepted that yet. And that's within his rights. And he should be careful about accepting that and taking this on and putting all those losses on his record and hurting his reputation by coaching this team if he's not getting paid enough to do that. He should absolutely do that. I just can't believe the Cavaliers announced it before seeing whether he was okay with it. And, you know, to their credit, at least Drew is doing the job right now. This is what an interim coach does. I don't know how long he'll do it. This has a chance to get even more embarrassing for the Cavaliers. But I do find this pretty funny that Larry Drew saying, no, I'm not the interim coach that you named me.
Well, we know that Dan Gilbert has had a little bit of a shaky history with press releases in the past, so maybe not all that surprising to see that coming down once again with the Cleveland Cavaliers. But Dan, I believe you lived in Boston for a period of time writing about the Celtics and the NBA as well, correct?
I did. It was during some leaner years with the Celtics. It was right after the Garnett-Pierce era ended as they were getting rid of Rondo and starting to build back up into the behemoth they've become.
Yeah, and we saw that up close and personal on Saturday night at Little Caesars Arena. Now, Saturday notwithstanding, this is a team that's kind of struggled out of the gates a little bit offensively in particular. As you kind of take a big picture look at the Celtics, what do you see as maybe kind of the biggest hurdle for that team as in terms of fulfilling all that potential and that promise that they have this year, you know, being the Eastern Conference champions presumed by a lot of people, and myself actually picking them to win the NBA Finals this year in seven Ooh. Games of the Golden State Warriors, a little bit of a hot take there. But what do you think is kind of the biggest thing that they need to deal with as the season goes on for them to get to that spot, to get to those places?
Well, I think they've got two big issues. One is they have these players, Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, coming back from injuries that kept him out. Hayward almost all of last season, Kyrie during the playoffs. And then they had other young players, and even some veterans, to step up in the playoffs, handle bigger roles, become accustomed to those bigger roles, and succeeding in those bigger roles. And so everybody's trying to figure out exactly where they fit in now. This is a group of smart players. I expect them to figure it out over time. They're well coached. Brad Stevens does a good job. So I'm not terribly worried about that, but I do think that will take time and, you know, adversely affect their record as they figure it out. You know, they beat the Pistons, but they've lost some other games as they try and figure this out. I'm still fairly confident by the end of the year, by the time the playoffs start, they'll really be rolling. The other issue that's really plagued them until the Pistons game is they haven't knocked down shots. They've had good shots taken by good shooters, and they've missed more than their share of them. I think that's just kind of a random occurrence. I don't read much into that. That could change on a dime. Maybe it changed against the Pistons and will stay changed. But, you know, those types of things happen. We just overreact to it when it happens in the first few games because there's nothing else to balance it. If the Celtics play 40 more games and then have another 3-4 game stretch where their shots aren't falling, you probably won't even notice.
Now, Dan Feldman here joining us of NBCSports.com. We're going to talk about the Pistons here in a second, but I wanted to ask you, as we go around the league here, and I know it's basically just about a week and a half in, maybe closer to 2 weeks, that the season started. We got one coach fired already. We got Oklahoma City with a tough start for them. The Pistons among the teams that have, you know, maybe the fastest starts record-wise so far this year. Milwaukee's doing great things in the Eastern Conference so far. Is there one story that has been something that you think is the most important, surprising story in the first part of the season, the first couple weeks of the season? You know, a lot of this stuff is just noise in the first 10 days or 2 weeks or so. And maybe other than the Cleveland coach being fired, which is obviously a big story, regardless of the time of the year or the time of the schedule it happens. Is there something that that's kind of sticking out to you so far around the league?
Well, this isn't a trend like for a specific team, but I think really maybe the most important story so far is Giannis Antetokounmpo went back into a game for the Bucks on Saturday after taking a blow to the head, and then it comes out today he's now in the concussion protocol, which does not mean he suffered a concussion, but the NBA has a history of players getting concussed, staying in the game like Giannis did, or coming back into the game by after being cleared, and then you later find out they have a concussion. And nothing bad has happened as a result of this yet, but to me it's only a matter of time, and it's a worrying thing because the biggest damage that can come with concussions is when somebody who's already concussed suffers another concussion. That's when the most serious damage is done. That's why it's so important to get them out of the games if they are concussed. And this has been something that's been happening for years here and there. I don't think there have been any examples with the Pistons, but other teams around the league, yeah, sometimes they put concussed players back in. And I say that because I do think that is so important, but also because a lot of things otherwise early in the season, it's a little too early to read into a lot of it. Like, I'm concerned by how the Rockets are playing, especially defensively, but Chris Paul has been suspended. They'll still have time to figure it out. I don't think there's any single team where I'm saying, wow, I have completely changed my expectations for them.
All right, now what about those Pistons, Dan? They're 4-1 heading into Tuesday night, going to Boston, got those first four wins, and then got brought back to earth with the Celtics game on Saturday night a little bit. Now kind of generally speaking, a lot of the national media said, you know, it's about an 8 seed, probably the worst playoff team in the Eastern Conference gets in and doesn't make much noise in the playoffs. My official prediction for the Pistons was they would actually get the 7 seed and go into and win their first playoff game in about 10 years, not get swept in the first round there. Do you have any opinions that's outside of that, you know, the normal realm of where people see the Pistons falling positively or negatively this year?
No, I'm pretty much in the same range. I'm curious, who did you have them ahead of among the common top 17?
I had them right ahead of Miami. So it's basically flipping okay. Miami and Detroit 7 and 8, as opposed to maybe the conventional team that had them up at 7 and Detroit at 8.
Yeah, I mean, I did have Miami at 7 and Detroit at 8, Charlotte at 9. I probably had the Pistons a little bit closer to Miami than most people did. Not a big believer in this Heat roster, although they'll play hard, they're well coached. I figured they'd figure out enough, and there was always the possibility they got Jimmy Butler and really upgraded their talent level and would be ahead of Detroit because of that. I haven't really changed my opinion of the Pistons so far. I really think a lot of this is just the schedule so far. They've had some easier games, and you know, even the 76ers was not an easy game without Ben Simmons. That's still a talented team, but the 76ers at home without Ben Simmons is not some daunting challenge. By far, the hardest game they had was against the Celtics. They got blown out. But it is nice to bank these wins. If the Pistons are what I think they are, and I'm guessing even what you think they are as a 70, it's not terribly different from what I predicted. They'll lose some of those games to teams like the Nets or the Cavs or whoever throughout the season. Like, you'll lose some of those. So to win those, to bank those wins, to be able to say at the end of the year when you set your record, it's not about, I always try and remind people, it's not about the 8 teams playing best at the end of the season. It's the teams with the 8 best records that make the playoffs. So to bank those wins, yeah, that's encouraging. But the way they've played, what they've done, who they've done it against, I don't think this team is much better than what I expected them to be, which was a low 40-win team.
Now, let's get out of that reality that we're both kind of talking about for the Pistons right now, and let's say that at the end of the year they do get those expectations that Blake Griffin talked about, and for somehow they get that 4th seed. Maybe they're hosting an Eastern Conference first-round matchup there. What would have went right for the Pistons this year? What are the one or two things that implies that best case scenario? What are some things that are possible that could happen for the Pistons to get to those kind of levels?
Well, I think it starts with Blake Griffin, and even with the opponents, you saw it in those first few games. I mean, he was playing maybe through the first 4 games of the season, he might have been the best player in the league, or at least have done the most in the league to that point. I mean, he's just been awesome, and hey, when he was with the Clippers, he was, I forgot where he peaked in MVP voting, somewhere around 3rd 1 year, something like that. Like, if you have the 3rd best player in the league on your team, expectations can be pretty high. And so if Blake Griffin is that guy, if he's healthy, if he's shooting well from the outside, he's not going to keep shooting 56% on three-pointers, but if he's around 40%, like, that's lethal. That's so hard to defend, and a lot can follow along behind him if he's leading the Pistons in that way.
And like you said, I think it was the year that Kevin Durant won MVP, his one MVP season, that that Blake Griffin was third in MVP voting behind Durant and LeBron James. So pretty good company there. Not too many years ago, although a few injuries and a few surgeries ago for Blake Griffin. Is there a player on the Pistons that particularly stands out to you that you are high on or maybe low on compared to what the conventional wisdom has or what the national perception of that player is? Is there someone that you particularly like, or maybe even someone that you're particularly down on with the squad?
I've been pretty high on Reggie Bullock until this year. And it has been a slow start for him. He's not making his threes. He looks a little bit out of sorts on his cuts. But I am still a believer in a player like that. I think there's a lot of value in somebody who can play to their role and doesn't try and do too much. He's not out here trying to create off the dribble, getting himself into trouble, committing a lot of turnovers, getting lost defensively. He sticks to what he does well, and he usually does it well. I'm not freaking out about a few games here, but I really think a lot of the most underrated players in the league are underrated because we don't acknowledge how much they don't make mistakes. It's not always about making a play. Sometimes it's about avoiding a negative play, and I think Bullock does that pretty well generally.
Dan Feldman of NBCSports.com, formerly of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Enjoy his work on the website there at NBCSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. I know many of the listeners obviously already do at this point. But Dan, is there anything that you're working on big over the next couple of weeks, or anything in particular, or trips that you have, or teams that you're going to be focusing on these next couple of weeks that should be looking out for?
I'm actually going to have tomorrow a little bit of a feature on Marcus Morris, coincidentally before the Pistons-Celtics game, and also coincidentally a former Piston. But we were talking about the Celtics' slow start. He is their one player who has not started slow, and that's part of the reason their record is as good as it is. He's come to play. He's in a contract year. He's got some interesting stuff going on around him in his life, and he is ready to go, and it's kind of cool to see.
Mook has a lot of fans in the Detroit area still, and I know he's one of the most fascinating players, at times for better, at times for worse, in the NBA as well, so we're looking forward to reading that. Dan Feldman, thanks for the time today.
Thanks for having me.
And again, thanks to Dan Feldman, the former host of this podcast and also of NBCSports.com, for joining us. I got the cell phone number of another exciting guest that I'm eager to talk to soon on the podcast last week at Little Caesar Arena. That's what we call a tease here in the biz. So be sure to listen and download every single day in case that interview is coming up with a famous member of the Little Caesars Arena experience. I'll just leave it at that. But that'll do it for our show today. The Boston Celtics and the Pistons tonight. Check it out. I will be watching. I'm sure you will be too. Just a reminder, once again, check out MyBookie. Lay down some cash and win big today. Join now. MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today, MyBookie. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Thanks, you guys, for listening. Another great start to the week here numbers-wise on Locked On Pistons. I think this month of October will probably be the biggest month in terms of downloads and clicks and all that stuff from you guys. So thanks a million for sending the word out to your friends, the Pistons fans in your life, all your social media channels that you're using to promote the show as well. We really appreciate it. This is grassroots in every sense of the word. I put a lot of work into this, and not for a lot of money, as you can imagine, but the gratification I get from spending some time meeting some of you guys digitally so far, and then I'm sure down the line meeting you guys in person and spending some time with some true Pistons fans and being part of your life in your earbuds every day. And I say that as a joke, but with podcasting, when I moved away from home, listening to shows like this was big for me to be connected with my hometown area, and that's why I like doing this. One of the main reasons I like connecting with you guys as well. So spread the word. Let's get the family to be even bigger as well. And so that'll do it here for Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. That's me. It sounded like I was introducing myself. But anyway, enjoy the game against the Celtics tonight, and we will talk to you tomorrow with a breakdown, also looking ahead to the Brooklyn Nets. We're also going to talk about the red letter teams, those red letter games I always talk about. How's that going so far? Some encouraging numbers, not only with the 4-1 start with the Detroit Pistons, but also how those teams are doing as well. So we'll talk to you tomorrow, everyone, and have a great day.